Hello, pack lover. This is Michael Criswell. I am not able to tell from your comments whether or not you are male or female, so please forgive me. I was really touched by your email and that you're only 14 years old and you're reaching out to try to find God's help and to find comfort in this pain that you're going through with what you call 4 years of hell. I think that perhaps you're male. I went and looked at your YouTube channel, so forgive me. I'll just call you my younger brother, okay? And forgive me if I'm wrong. I'm going to take my best guess, but it's hard for me to speak to somebody I don't know who their sex is. So you are in a lot of pain. I just wanted to encourage you and let you know that life does not have to be defined by your circumstances and by what you feel is going on in your life right now. God desires that all of His children rise above this earth and these circumstances and these pains and these unmet expectations and these wrong attitudes and the evils that are done against us. God wants to save you out of this, my friend. But it's very hard to understand, but God actually uses all of these very painful, difficult sufferings in our life to do many, many good things. You can't see it when you're in it, and you certainly can't feel it. But God uses affliction and pain and hurtful behaviors from other people to put you in a place where you're almost like in a prison, okay? You might imagine what it's like to be in prison. You've lost all of your freedom and you think about one thing and one thing only. How do I get out of here? I want my freedom. I'm tired of sleeping on this metal cot. I want freedom. I want comfort, right? So God uses not so much physical prison. Not everybody goes to prison, obviously, but God uses spiritual prison in almost every child of God's life. So if you are somebody, young man, who is supposed to know God as your father and to learn to one day walk with Jesus Christ, God will put you in a prison of suffering and of oppression, and He'll allow you to be controlled by other people. And you say, wow, but if God is good, why should I be feeling all these pains? And why does He let these horrible things happen, right? Okay, well, let me tell you the answer to that question. God gave you a free will. If you want to press pause on this recording right now, God will not stop you. If you want to throw it in the garbage, God will not stop you. If you want to turn it off and just play video games, God will not stop you. If you want to put a gun to your head and pull the trigger, God will not stop you. If you want to go to hell, God will not stop you. Why? God gives man free will. Now, He gives you limited free will. I don't want to get complicated, but if you decided you wanted to go out and shoot a bunch of people in a school, God is going to control how many people He will allow you to shoot. Again, this could get really complicated, but the Bible, when you learn to study and see, God is in control of everything. And yet, at the same time, mysteriously, He allows you to have some choice and some freedom in your destiny. That's why John 7:17, Jesus Christ says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out. You have to choose. Okay, now watch. When you came into this world, you were not thinking about God. My little brother, you were thinking about how to survive first, how to get milk from your mom, food, comfort, love, all those things, right? You've been thinking about the basics of life. How can I just feel good as a human? This is the part of you that the Bible calls the flesh. And the Bible says your flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why? The kingdom of God is spiritual. So you come into this world with this physical body. You can feel, you can smell, you can taste, you can touch, you can see. And you want that body to be comfortable. It's written right into its very nature to avoid pain and to seek pleasure. Okay. So your whole life, you would love if life was all about video games and parents who would pick you up and throw you up and kiss you and buy you good things, take you out to dinner, pat you on the back, tell you how great you're doing. These things would make the part of you that's flesh, the part of you that is from Adam's nature, it would make you feel great. And you say, yeah, Mike, if God is so great, why won't he do that for me, man? Come on, help me out, right? I'll tell you why. In the end, if you live comfortable all the way to the end of your life and you have not surrendered your life to Christ, if you've not been born again, if you have not overcome the world, if you've not overcome the flesh, if you've not lost your life to find it, you go to hell. God brought Jesus Christ into the world to save you out of this world and to save you from yourself. Okay. You might say, well, Mike, what's so wrong with me wanting pleasure and to do good? And didn't God give me these desires and all that? Yes. He gave them to you. He allowed you to have them. But watch this. He wants you to get back to the original purpose of your creation, which was lost about 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. See, when God created you and I, humans, he created us for him. Now, let's just say you wanted to buy a dog so that every day you came home from school, he was wagging his tail and you could throw the frisbee with him and play with him. And you would get a great deal of pleasure from this dog. You would take care of him, feed him, nurture him, and he would be the object of your love. You know, you would give love to this dog. And the dog would love you and the dog would make you feel good. You would make the dog feel good. Okay. That's why you bought the dog. But now supposing that when you buy this dog, the dog never is interested in anything about you. He's only interested in digging holes in your backyard. He's only interested in jumping over your fence. He's only interested in running around and sniffing the butts of all the other dogs in the neighborhood. He's only interested in wallowing in the mud. He's only interested in running the hills. He's only interested in digging up the flowers in your family's bed. Okay. Now, is that dog meeting the need that you originally created it for or bought it for? No, he's not, right? He's completely contradicting the reason why you bought the dog to begin with. He's not doing anything for you. In fact, when you found the dog, he was in a cage. Say you bought him from the Humane Society and you gave this dog freedom so that you could love the dog. But now the dog cares nothing about you, young man. He's out running the hills and acting a fool and he runs away and he's constantly getting himself hurt and you have to spend money to fix him up. Now, this is a picture of God with us. God created us from nothing. Gave us a free will choice to choose to love him. But then what did we do? We were enticed by our own desire, tempted by the devil to rebel against God's purpose for creating us. As soon as Adam and Eve ate that apple, young man, in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't like they were watching pornography or lying or cheating or stealing or having an adulterous affair or loving money or hurting other people, slandering, walking in unforgiveness, oppressing other people. No, they weren't doing any of those things. All they did that was wrong was the greatest evil that all mankind has done and is guilty of. They rebelled against the guy who made them, God. You see, they had no participation in their creation whatsoever. You had no participation in your creation. But yet, God brought you onto this planet. And then just like Adam and Eve, you and I decide we have a better life plan than God does. We have a better purpose than God does. And we become just like the dog that you bought that you can't stand now because he's about everything except for you. We become that to God. You see, life was given to us by God, but we come into this world bent away from God who gave us the life. We come into this world, we start saying at 2 years old, mine, 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 and it never ends, right? The only way that you can live forever is if you are a child of God. You come into this world, the Bible teaches, separated by the sinful nature you've inherited from Adam and Eve's sin. This is the way God allowed it. Just like when you went to save the dog from the jail, God puts all of us in a spiritual jail. Right now, yours might be your mom. For another person, it's pornography. I just read an email from a kid who's begging for me to help him since he's your age, 14 years old, and he's now, I think he said, 36. He's been addicted to pornography. He's from another country, and he says, Mike, I need help. I go to church. I'm watching your videos. I've been reading the Bible for years. I need help. You see, watch this. He's in a prison. Okay? God is in the business of allowing you and I to be oppressed by some sin or some person, like the Pharaoh to the Israelites. I don't know if you've read the story, but in the book of Genesis and Exodus, primarily in the book of Exodus, you can begin to see that the fulfillment of God's word to Abraham comes true. God comes to Abraham in the 15th chapter of Genesis and says, you can know this for sure, Abraham. Your people are going to be enslaved and oppressed and poorly treated for 400 years. But after that, they're going to cry out, and I'm going to hear them. I'm going to deliver them, and they're going to come out of Egypt with great possessions. Little brother, there's no reason that God gives for them to be in Egypt. They didn't do anything to deserve it. Have you done something necessarily at 14 years old to deserve being hurt and oppressed by either this drug or by your mom? This drug you're taking, I'm presuming it's a medication. Have you done something to deserve this necessarily? Probably not. But God, the Bible says, has turned all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them. That's God's way of spiritually saying God puts all of us in a prison. He binds us all to some bondage, a sin that we can't stop doing, a pattern of thinking we can't stop thinking, some sort of a weakness in our body, a weakness in our brain. He binds us over to some weakness, a person who hurts us, rejects us, slanders us. He puts us in maybe extreme poverty. He puts us in a difficult family. He puts us in a place where we're all alone. God does all of these things for the very purpose of putting you in a position where you will do exactly what the Israelites did. You will cry out to God for deliverance. Everything I've told you is the point of why God allows these kind of things to happen in your life, young man. God wants you to know him. He created you for him. He wants to live in you by his spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the heavens and earth, the Bible says everything was made through him and everything was made for him, and not one thing was made apart from him, including you. The God who holds the stars in his hand and knows every one of them by name, and who holds the oceans back from overtaking the land, who keeps the moon in place, who feeds all the creatures, all the insects, all the animals of the field, who makes the rain come down on the righteous and the unrighteous, the sun shine on the evil and the good. He knows you. He loves you. He created you. And you have an opportunity, young man, to cry out to this God. Watch this. God will not just do this for me. You maybe hear me talking a lot about God and verses of scripture and all that, and you may say, wow, Michael is a man of God. God must do great things for him. No, God will do this for anybody who will cry out. You might say, Mike, I'm only 14. Praise God. You know who Jesus loved the most? Children. I'm not calling you a child, but compared to my 43 years of age, you're a child, right? I was 14. Do you know Jesus taught that unless you become like you, a child, a young person, really you have to become even younger in Jesus' eyes than what you are at 14. You're starting to become a young man, right? Jesus says that even me at 43, you know what he says to me? Michael, unless you change and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of God. This is Matthew 18, verses 3 through 4. God loves children because they are dependent upon him, and they don't try to use human reasoning to create a God in their mind that doesn't really exist, and they don't look at everything God asks them to do in the Word of God and say, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, why would God ever do this? No. Little children, when I tell them, I want you to do this, I want you to follow my kids, they would obey because they don't use human reasoning to question when dad says, okay, where I want you to go down here, take a left, walk three spaces, do this. I want you to go grab this, get this, bring it over here. When it doesn't make sense to them, they don't stop and argue with me and say, that doesn't make sense. That's what God loves about us becoming little children. You have to become needy. Are you needy? Are you weak? Are you feeling oppressed? Young man, this is exactly who God wants to help. You are the kind of person that God looks for. God looks for, you know, the Bible says that God is a God of the fatherless and the orphans. You might say, well, I'm not fatherless, but maybe you are in God's eyes. I wasn't technically fatherless, but in God's eyes I was. I didn't have an earthly dad to teach me anything about God. And I only had a dad really in my life till I was 9, and then it's just been sporadic after that. And I don't have either of my fathers, my blood-born father or my father who raised me. Neither one of them are in my life on any kind of a basis right now. Okay? So watch. God loves people that are weak, that are in trouble, that can't help themselves. You are in a position, young man, you won't find God in fullness tomorrow. But at 14 years old, Jesus Christ said, let all the little children come to me. Children younger than you can come to Jesus. All you have to do is know that you're a sinner, that you're not living like God. You don't live like Jesus did, right? Jesus doesn't tell lies. He doesn't complain. He doesn't do his own will over his father's will. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't have adulterous affairs. He doesn't masturbate. He doesn't play dark video games. He doesn't watch dark television shows. He doesn't drink alcohol. He doesn't do anything that's not something God would do. Do you see? Or he doesn't do anything that is something God wouldn't do. Let me make it more clear. Jesus being God and man. He lives holy. He lives different than us. You have to live holy. You have to recognize, man, I'm not like Jesus. Romans 3:23 says that you and I have fallen short of God's glory. That is sin. We've sinned against God. He made us for his purposes. And we come into this world with a better idea and a better plan for our life. That is rebellion. That's that filthy dog that you saved out of the cage who owes you so much because he was sitting in his own urine and poop in the Humane Society. And you went and got him to give him love. And you wanted to play with him and teach him what love and respect was and comfort him and provide for him and he could love you back. This dog didn't care anything about what you did for him. This dog had a much better plan for his life than you did. He wants to still run wild and be free and be like a stray dog and act all kind of nonsense in the neighborhood and run off the leash. Do you see how frustrated you would be at that dog? That's exactly what we've done to God. It's not about Christianity. It's not about going to church. It's not about religion. It's about living according to God's will for your life and learning to be like Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of our life. God wants you to become like Jesus. Why? He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you, young man. And you and I are filthy. We're absolutely filthy because of our rebellion against God. It makes us unlike God. It makes us spiritually nasty and God can't come near us. Let's say, for example, the dog that you bought at the pound, right? You want to play with him, but he's gone out on a rainy day and he just flips and flops and rolls and throws himself in all the mud. Now, let's say you're getting ready to go to church on Sunday and you have on your Sunday best. Okay, you look nice, or maybe you're getting ready to go to some event and you're going to school and you've got on your nice clothes, right? And your dog loves you so much and he's going to miss you. He wants you to provide for him. He wants you to feed him. He wants you to be there to pet him when he comes back from school. But before you go to school, when you come back from school, but before you go to school, the dog comes in from the mud and wants to come all up around you and get you to hug him. He wants to roll up on your legs and jump up on you. How do you feel about that dog? You love him, but you cannot be near him, right? Why? He's filthy. He needs a bath before you can take care of him. Now, can a dog give itself its own bath? No, it cannot. It needs you to give him a bath. And your God needs to give you and I a bath. He cannot come near us with all this spiritual filth in our heart and in our minds. We're no different than the dog who's rolled in the mud to God. And then we run to the King of Kings sitting on his throne in his amazing white clothes. And we say, Daddy, let me have you a big hug. Come do all these good things for me. Let me climb up in your lap. And God's like, no. You can't do this. You need to get cleaned up first, because right now you're my enemy. You need to get your life cleaned up. You need a bath. This is why Jesus Christ came to this earth, young man, and shed his blood on the cross at Calvary. He did this to cleanse you of all that filth that you've gotten on you from rolling in this world in its mud and from rebelling against God and not doing his will, but living life according to yours. If you put your faith in Christ and you start to learn his teachings, the Lord Jesus Christ promises that he will make his home with you and he will reveal himself to you. And my friend, let me tell you what happens then. When God comes and makes a home in your heart, no matter what you're struggling with, brain issues, parent issues, money issues, fear issues, friend issues, bully issues, no matter what you're struggling with, when the God who made you comes and makes his home in your heart, all of the worries of this life melt away. You can find a rest and a peace and a joy. Jesus Christ will lift you spiritually above all of these painful, ugly circumstances in life. It's like a dog that you got at the pound that has been abused its whole life. All it's ever known is abuse and frustration and neglect and pain and hunger, right? We're all like that dog. And it's all you can ever imagine for your life when you're that dog and you're inside a cage sitting in your own filth and your own urine. But then you come along, young man, and you take that dog and you adopt him and you take him home and you wash him up and you get the fleas all knocked off of him and you put some food that's so tasty in front of him. He never knew dog food could taste so good. In fact, you even start to give him some of your table food. You give him food that's fit for a human to a dog, and you start to pet him and love on him. I tell you the truth. It may take him a while to learn to trust you, but pretty soon he will begin to forget all of the pain and the misery and the affliction he went through. It's the same thing with God, my friend. No matter what you're going through, you can know God allows it in your life for a reason. Don't rebel against it. Don't complain. Don't grumble. Don't say, why is me? Don't say, my friends at school have it better than me. Forget them. Do they? Because most of the people in this world that are comfortable are going to end up in hell. Jesus taught, unless you lose your life, meaning your will, your desires, your goals, your plans, your dreams, your wants, unless you lose all of that, you will lose your life. But if you lose all of those things, Jesus said, you'll find your life in me. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That is what Jesus demands. You have to give up your rights to your life and your plans in this life and do God's will. And then God makes his home with you. All of these other problems God has used, you will find out, to drive you into his presence, to teach you how to, just like the Israelites did, cry out for a deliverer. Young man, you need to cry out to Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil lie to you for 1 minute and say, you're too young, you don't know enough. Forget that. You know exactly what you need, and that is a deliverer. If you're in trouble, what does the Bible say? James 5:13. Is anyone in trouble? He should pray. Go in your room. Trust me what I'm telling you. Go in your room. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired about all of this, and you really want God's help, go in your room when nobody's around and don't tell anybody you pray this prayer. Don't tell your mom. Don't tell your friends. Don't even tell me unless, you could tell me if you want to, but don't tell anybody that can do anything to help you in your life. Only talk to God and go in that room and tell God, Lord, I want your help. I want to know you. I want to understand my sin and I want to understand your salvation. Teach me your ways, Jesus Christ. Make yourself known to me. Save me out of this pain and suffering that right now I don't understand. But I want to know you. If you will say a prayer like that from your heart and you just put it in your own words, not mine, just tell God what you want and make it that you want Him more than you want anything else. My friend, God is the answer to every problem you have. Don't ask God to solve all your problems. Ask God to bring Himself into your life and all of your problems will be solved. And any problem that God is fit to allow into your life will have a wonderful reason. You will learn how to follow Christ through suffering. Jesus, although He was a son, learned obedience by what He suffered. So you will too. Just go cry out to Him. Just cry out to Him and say, Father, I don't see you. I can't hear you. I can't smell you. I can't hug you. But Lord, I know you're there because your word says you're there. And my big brother Michael says you're there and he claims to know you. So I want to know you. Young man, God will answer a prayer like that. And then here's step two. You can't just pray and then walk away. You got to pray and then you got to go learn how to find God. And you find God by God's ways. You got to understand God's ways. If you're not a dog person and you go and you buy a dog and you don't know anything about dogs, you cannot expect for that dog to learn obedience to you until you understand the ways of a dog. There's ways of a dog. There's ways of a horse. Animals have certain ways. People have certain ways. And my friend, God has a certain way. It's called the truth. You have to approach God. The Bible says you have to worship God in spirit and in truth. His word is the truth. You got to know how God thinks. Now watch, you're not going to learn it all today, this week, this month, this year. You're not going to learn it all in this lifetime. But you can begin now to learn more and more about God, and God will begin to reveal more and more about Himself. You're not in a race, and neither is God. It's a lifelong adventure to get to know God. It may take you years. I want to encourage you to stay subscribed to my videos. I'm so proud of you at 14 years old that you're crying out to help. I have a son, Tyler, who's 15. I have 5 children, and my oldest son, 15, I've always been amazed that he continues to be interested in things about God. And even though there's video games and all kinds of stuff and girls and all that, my son continues to be interested in knowing how I know God like this. He watches the videos. I want to tell you how proud of you I am. I'm proud of you that you even care anything about God. And I thank God that you're in enough trouble that you're crying out to Him. That is who God is interested in. The weak, those who don't have anybody else to help, that's who God wants to help. If that's you, you can be sure God wants to help you. Go take the John 7:17 challenge. You're not going to understand it all, but Jesus will help you. When you don't understand something, say, Lord Jesus, I need your grace to understand this so I can obey it and find you. He's your daddy. Jesus calls Him Abba Father. That's Jewish for daddy. You can know Him. You don't know Him as daddy now. You maybe know Him as God Almighty. He holds the stars in His hand. You can know Him as daddy, Lord, deliverer, who holds your life in His hands. Go after Him with everything you have, young man, and God will make Himself known to you. You have problems? Cry out to God. God is faithful. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. But you need to learn more about the Lord you're supposed to trust in. So go on my website, relentlessheart.com. And start taking the John 7:17 challenge. I put it all on there for free. You can go and listen video by video and you'll hear. It's like having me as your big brother teaching you exactly how to follow Jesus. Father, I thank you for this young man that he reached out. I thank you for the problems that are in his life that are causing him to desire you. There's kids right up the street that don't care anything about you. They're out riding their shiny bikes, playing their fun video games and getting pats on the back by the coach when they hit the home run game tonight. They don't care anything about you, God. They don't even know you exist. And here is this young man who you've been pleased to allow already at 14 years old, a fiery furnace of affliction and heat in his life. And here he is taking the time to watch a video about the Bible that I've done, and he's asking for help from you. Father, I thank you that he is the one you delight over. I thank you, Father, that you care enough about him to put him in weak, difficult, needy circumstances so that he can begin to put his eyes on you and know you. Father, help this young man to know you. Help him to know that you can overcome every single suffering that he's experiencing now, that you can bless him to know you, and he can walk with you, and he can hear your voice, Father, that you can give him guidance and counsel, and that if every single person in his life deserts him, the King of the universe will be his friend and his redeemer and his deliverer and his God. Help him to know the difference between religion and relationship, Father. Father, I ask you for spiritual wisdom and understanding. I've tried to explain some basic things to him, Lord, in as simple of language as I can to help him understand. Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll bring conviction and understanding to this message in his heart. That he'll see, Father, he doesn't need to have any special knowledge. The only requirement is the humility of a child and the faith to believe the Father hears the child. God, I pray in the name of Christ Jesus that you'll touch this young man. You'll help him to see that you are real, that you see and feel everything he's going through, and that you're allowing this all to happen for his ultimate good and for your glory. God, protect him from the lies of the devil which want to push him down and say, don't listen to Mike. Mike doesn't know what he's talking about. Mike's special. Mike doesn't know how much pain you've been in. Mike doesn't understand the hell you've been in. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, he takes up the shield of faith. And I'm asking you, Father, to honor my words now. I'm going to take up the shield of faith for him, Lord, and stand in the gap. Father, I thank you in the name of Christ Jesus that you defeated the devil on the cross. The battle wages, but the war has already been won. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name for helping him to overcome the lies and the schemes of the devil in his house and in his life. Help him, Father, to be strong in the Lord and to grow up into you, to live a life pleasing to you, worthy of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who calls him to salvation. Father, I pray you help him to understand salvation, that he'll receive you fully in his heart, that he'll receive baptism, Father, both water and spiritual baptism, that you will indeed place your spirit in his heart, that you'll live in him, that you'll give him grace and peace, and that he'll one day come to know life to the full in you. And he'll be used all the rest of the days of his life to bring you honor and glory. And that one day he can know this truth. The richest man in the world is not the man who has the most, but it is the man or woman who needs the least, because they have found everything in you. That's my prayer for him, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, young man.